President Trump tweeted this morning that he thinks migrants should be turned away at the border without court hearings, that it's too expensive and complicated to hire enough judges to deal with immigration cases. Meanwhile, Congress is preparing immigration legislation following Trump's reversal of his administration's policy that separated migrant families at the border. We're joined now by Ron Elving, NPR senior Washington editor and correspondent. Hi, Ron.
Hello, Jeremy.
And let's start with what the president said. He wants migrants turned away without any hearings on their asylum status. Could he do that on his own, or would he need Congress?
That's a question we seem to be asking a lot. Can the president do that, or does he need Congress? Let's put it this way. If Congress wanted to weigh in here, it certainly could. But Congress is utterly gridlocked on the question of immigration. So what's likely is that we'll see executive orders from the president, and he will wait to have his executive orders challenged in court, as they were, of course, with the travel ban and various other issues. But eventually, changing the whole system the way the president is envisioning, with refugees at least, it would need to be done by law, or else, I think most agree, it'll be in flux and confusion for the foreseeable future.
Well, what about the immigration bill that the House of Representatives is working on this week? It sounds like even if they are able to get enough votes to pass it through the House, it's going to be a real uphill climb in the Senate, where Democrats have more power.
That's right. And that's been acknowledged by the president in his Twitter feed. So it seems unlikely right now that the House is going to pass any kind of a big compromise bill as they've been planning to do. The prospects for that legislation have been going downhill over the weekend. There might not even be a vote on it at all. That would be up to Paul Ryan. But they could try to pass something smaller, of course, just addressing this family detention or minors detention and family separation situation we've been watching at the border. And if they were to do that, that also would then have to try to get through the Senate, where it's harder because you need more than a handful of Democrats to cooperate. You can't do it just on Republican votes alone, as they could do in the House.
In the Senate, you've got two senators who are pretty far apart, Dianne Feinstein of California, Democrat, and Republican Ted Cruz of Texas, working on their own immigration bill.
Yes, and you wouldn't think that they would have much to agree on, but in fact, they, among others, think that more judges on the border would be a big help so they could handle cases faster. And of course, the president says that's not a help, but let's just set that aside and talk about the Senate. The other thing they have in common with all their ideological differences, they're both on the ballot this fall, and they should both win, of course, but they would really like to win confidently. They would like to win on an upswing, and being in the, let's say, two largest states of the union by population with the two largest Hispanic populations really puts them on the forefront of this issue and gives them reason to want to be more than just the usual partisan Punch and Judy show.
Meanwhile, Ron, what do we know about what's being done to get the kids who have been separated from their parents back together, the thousands who are still separated?
The Department of Homeland Security and the Department of Health and Human Services say that they have this under control. They say they have the names. They have a tracking system. They know where everybody is, and they know how to get them back together. And there have been a lot of skeptics out there, but some children seem to have been reunited with their families, so we can hope at least that it goes well and that it goes quickly and that the damage to these children will be at least limited to some degree.
Let me ask you about something else that's been in the news the last couple of days. A Virginia restaurant kicked the White House press secretary Sarah Sanders out over the weekend. The owner said she did so because Sanders worked for an inhumane and unethical administration. Also last weekend, Florida Attorney General and Trump ally Pam Bondi got shouted down by protesters when she was trying to go to a movie. Let's listen.
Shame on you! Shame on you! Shame on you!
So, Ron, these are the latest instances of figures close to Trump facing this public outrage in their day-to-day lives. And then listen here to California Democratic Congresswoman Maxine Waters, who opined on MSNBC about the Sanders incident.
For these members of his cabinet who remain and try to defend him, they're not going to be able to go to a restaurant. They're not going to be able to stop at a gas station. They're not going to be able to shop at a department store. The people are going to turn on them. They're going to protest. They're going to absolutely harass them until they decide that they're going to tell the president, no, I can't hang with you.
Ron, what do you make of these incidents, and what do they do for both the right and the left?
Perhaps the easiest way to answer that is to note that Fox News has been playing that clip you just played this morning with great glee and portraying it as a symbol of how all the Democrats feel and act. Now, Democratic leader in the House, Nancy Pelosi, has disowned these remarks, and I don't think you'll hear a lot of other Democrats speaking it quite that way. Maxine Waters has always, to some degree, defined a pole in our politics and in the Democratic Party. Back in 1988, I remember she was the only Democrat who served on the Democratic Platform Committee to actually vote against what that committee came up with. So she's always defined herself as a bit of an outlier, but she's also speaking to the passion that has been inflamed by this issue of family separation in the last couple of weeks.
And President Trump, by the way, tweeting today that Maxine Waters, an extraordinarily low IQ person, he calls her the face of the Democrat Party. Ron Elving, NPR senior Washington editor and correspondent, thank you.
Thank you, Jeremy.